Good morning, everyone. Uncle Leo still surprises me how he keeps his hair colour. And I never know how he does it, but at probably half your age, I'm...
Good living,
okay.
Good
cooking, yeah. A bit late on... Are you saying something about Rachel's cooking? Ooh, could get in trouble here. I've got a little thing, if you don't mind, I'd like to take the cloth off and just so that we can see the emblems. And I'd like to share our love as a family from Rachel and myself, Shiloh, Zion and Eden, and our dog Rewa, who's banished from the hall because she has sharp claws. We all bring our love and happiness to be here. We're really thankful we can be here. Rachel was paranoid that this was not going to happen because of COVID and lockdowns and restrictions, and it has happened, so it's lovely. I am going to... I've given the sensort before. The sensort I wrote early August this year, but you guys actually featured in my thoughts because I thought I might be giving it here, and I do go to that. So it's a bit of an unusual exhort, and I hope you get something from it. Good morning to you all. I am writing this probably not in the context that you would expect. This good morning for me is currently 3:41 a.m. on Wednesday morning, early August. I am awake and unable to sleep. Why? I'm not sure. Maybe your mind can drift back that far, but probably not. In Hawke's Bay, we had wild weather at the time, okay? I'm writing this to you because I can't sleep, and I've decided to write it in a letter form. As you are my family, and I want to share my thoughts, ideas, and perspective in the hope that this letter sets out to help encourage and motivate us on our walks of faith. I'm not awake because my thoughts are in turmoil. My legs are a bit achy, yet my mind is at peace. My thoughts are happy and content. It is now 3:48 a.m. The reason I am awake, as I've mentioned, was because it was gale force winds at the time. Okay? It was just blowing harder than I'd heard the wind blow before in Hawke's Bay. We're in a new house at the time, and there are new noises. We've never had wind this heavy here. The noises seem to keep my consciousness interested in listening. I feel for our new neighbours up on the hill. They are living in a makeshift plastic caravan at the time, and they're on a very exposed building site. The wind's blowing so hard, the trees are swaying so violently, they look like they're going to be plucked up. The night sky is so dark, the stars look like pinpricks to God's glory in the black sheet of the night sky. Even the stars seem to be swaying and moving in the wild wind. But I am not awake because of the new noises in the house. I'm not awake because of the swaying trees or stars. I'm not awake still because of the outer turmoil, the crazy wild wind. I'm not awake because the outer turmoil is a reflection of the inner turmoil of my thoughts. Not this time. This time my thoughts are peaceful. But how often do we have thoughts of concern or stress, thoughts of responsibility, thoughts of angst that can plague us last thing at night or first conscious twitch in the morning? This is not one of those times. My mind is at peace. I love this feeling and I want to share it with you. a peaceful mind, a mind that is close to our Father and our Lord. Unlike the outside push and pull of wind, I lie here at peace within myself. I am happy. I am safe, yet outside there is a sense of havoc, danger and discomfort. My wife and my family are close. My God is close. You are all close. And my thoughts also. And that includes you, because I thought I'd be giving this talk here today. And it's nice to do so. My thoughts are peaceful because, to a degree, I feel like Rachel and I are in a good place in life. I feel very blessed, very, very blessed, and so thankful to have her, our kids, and all of you in our walk to a new life. Yet this so often isn't the case with the challenges of life. The challenge of work or retirement, for that matter. The challenges of owning a business or being responsible for other people. The challenges of working for other people and the responsibility that requires. Or being responsible for those we work with. Being a teenager and trying to navigate friendships and social acceptance, not to put aside the commitments of schoolwork and sport. Living with a conscience and a moral compass. The guilt, the shame, the locked-in cycle of sin that at times can seem impenetrable or at the very least pathetic in our attempts to overcome. These thoughts of turmoil can come from relationship challenges, sickness, loss, financial stress, change, or the unkind actions of others. These thoughts of angst can come from our family, our friendships, our siblings, our parents, our kids. But not this morning, as this morning I'm at peace inside my own mind. I love God, I love Jesus, and they are both close. Close to my inner thoughts, close to my heart. And in a funny way, I feel close in nature. As the power of the wind expresses itself in an unrelenting but slightly soothing way, I feel God is in the wind. My thoughts drift to a beach fire of driftwood that we had at Tiawonga Beach, which is just down the road from us. It's a wonderful little surf beach with a beautiful point break on it. We go there and have fires on the beach, often dinner in a big old cast iron frying pan. We just watch the sunset. And the surf was absolutely epic on this day. The sunset and sky was yet another masterpiece of one of the angels. I often think God lets the angels do a sunset. You know, that's like almost like a reward for them. Whether there's any truth in that, I have no idea, but it sort of stuck with me. So I always think it's like one of the angels' masterpieces, watching a sunset. Edie and Sheila, now I'm going to mention some names here. John and Abby, who you've had here, I'm pretty sure. John and Abby Terry, they have oldest boy Noah, middle boys Micah, and the youngest is Sheila. And Abby's Rachel's sister. We spend a lot of time with them in the bay. Edie and Sheila had made a hut out of driftwood, surfboard bags and boogie boards. No doubt it was a horse's stable rather than a hut. Micah's chin was sending Morse code with chatters of cold just coming in from a surf. And Zion was hoovering food down to make up for his recent caloric expenditure in the surf. Rachel and Abby were unthreading life's complexities, and Shiloh and Noah were sitting content and soaking it all in. The fire was warm and had a cool blue flame at its base. The sun was just setting and our eyes could feast on the remaining surface playful flicks and tricks that entertained the eye. John, and this was a fairly momentous moment for me because it caught me by surprise and blindsided me to a large degree. John, my brother-in-law, then asked me, so he's got an English accent, as you know, I won't try and do it. So, Winton, how's life going? I responded, well, John, I must say, Rach and I feel like we are in a pretty good patch at the moment. We're busy, but things seem good. John then turned to me and said, Winton, I think that's the first time I've heard you say that in about 5 or 6 years. And it made me think, you know, like what, well, it actually made me think, what was my conversation with John about over 5 or 6 years? It sounded pretty perplexing, but, you know, it probably gave me an appreciation for the place we're in right now, because we, you know, everyone's lives are challenging and we all go through some rocky stuff, and to be in a good place is a lovely place to be, and that's what peace of mind is. It's nice to feel happy, it's nice to be at peace. Olive Alderson, my nan, once said to me that peace of mind is one of the most valuable things we can have. She was a wise lady. I have peace of mind this morning, but this morning is a metaphor that is so often the other way around. My mind is at peace on my pillow, yet outside is a craziness of flurry, mayhem and action. But how often is it the other way around? How often is it still outside and calm, and our heads have the wild gale of thought and angst, the winds of responsibility, worry or concern? Are these times self-perpetuated? Are the constant winds that batter our thoughts beyond our control? Or is the peace that surpassed all understanding constantly available? Did not Jesus, with a word, stop the wind and the waves? I think of Noah. He was told it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. What would Noah's first thought to that be? Anyone?
What's rain?
What on earth's rain? How are you even meant to imagine rain? And then it's going to rain for that long. What's going to happen with that? And he told me to make this huge boat, this box made of wooden tar, and then apparently there's going to be animals, every animal on the planet in pairs. Are you serious? Like, would have Noah had peace of mind? Really? Well, you know, what would have his thoughts been last thing at night? Oh, did I get that plank right? I think he probably would have thought of the bigger picture more than we think. But what about Jonah and the whale? Lovely childhood story, you know, yeah, got swallowed by a whale. Very cool. I argue that it's probably the most bizarre human rescue story ever written. Okay. The smell would have been unimaginable. We probably don't think of that. But, yeah, walk into a fish shop with the fridge turned off for a month and, you know, try and imagine that. And he might have been thinking, you know, was it a fluke? Was it? You know, or is this God really working? Like, seriously? Is this how God's going to save me? Swallowed by a fish? He can't leave because he can't swim, so he can't exactly jump out of the mouth and swim away. So he's also got to rely on the fish putting him on land somewhere, because the guy can't swim. So, like, he's still first thoughts in the morning, if he even did sleep, you know. Last thoughts at night. Jonah. Peace of mind? Don't think so. What about David? How would you like to be the king's aide and you get a javelin thrown at your head? You know, like, is David going to have peace of mind? Like, how did David get peace of mind? He was hunted like a wild animal by the king. And then, you know, he does something wrong. There's Bathsheba. He's waiting for his child to survive. You know, these times in David's life, like, you think of how many times in David's life as well. What about Jesus in the garden? The burden and stress of those Bible passages that he knew all too well. That he could quote those passages of what he was going to go through. How did Jesus find the peace that surpasses all understanding? He was human like us. Where were Jesus' thoughts late at night and early in the morning? I think there's ample scripture to show that his thoughts were with his father. And he went out to a hill, or he went out on his own, and he spent those times with his father. And I think there's a key there. You know, with all that was going on in Jesus' life, he wasn't some immune to stress and worry, you know. But where was his thoughts? His thoughts were with his father, and that's where his communication was as well. So, if we are going to obtain peace, we must believe. For us to have peace of mind and believe, we must have faith. For us to have faith, God has to be in our lives. God must be able to dwell or live in us to provide this peace. And not only God, but Jesus also. As we are here today, we take Jesus into ourselves so he can be a part of us. So Jesus can live in us, just as God, his Father, wants to live in us also. For God and Jesus are now one and want us to be one with them. What gale force wind, what uncontrollable gust can affect our thoughts when our Father and our Lord Jesus are with us, in us, providing that peace that surpasses all understanding. Another metaphor I thought would tie in nicely was we had a very, very unusual day down in Hawke's Bay, early August, same week as when we had the gale force winds. We had fog, and it was heavy, heavy fog, but it didn't go away. It stayed the whole day. It was a very eerie day, and it was thick, blanketed fog. Never had it before. I drove to work, and I lost my bearings, as I could not see simple landmarks and road signs that I use as cues to slow down and speed up. You know, we live on a lot of right-hand corners on our country road, and you know, you're approaching quite fast, and you wait for your cues if there's a hedge or whatever. You know, but the fog had taken all that out. It made me feel curious about life, and saw the fog as a metaphor for our future. And that even though we travel the roads of life, we go to work every day, or we do this every day, we do a routine each day, and we do it every day, most days, what have you, weekends might be different, holidays different, but we do that routine daily. But we never know what's going to happen in the very next second. So, we travel the roads of life and see clearly our past, our present, as we have lived and are living them both, no matter how often those roads have been travelled, or those days and routines have been lived. The fog depicts the uncertainty and unclear vision of our future. In the past, driving the roads of life, we can see the cars approaching. We can look into our past and we can see how that event happened and how we moved on from that event and passing by. But in our future, it happens in real time. And in the fog, cars came towards me with their lights on, and I only had a couple of seconds to realise there was a car coming towards me. That's how thick the fog was. And it made sense as to, like, it's like your future happening. You know, it's immediate, minute by minute, second by second. Our reactions to future events are often instant, reactive, and spontaneous. And that's not always a good thing. Just like this foggy morning. Our past we can reflect on as the vision is uninhibited, but our future we have to react as we are faced with it, with only moments as the fog dissipates, as we can see what is approaching. The thick fog in the bay was like nothing we'd seen before. It was bizarre. What you once knew to be very familiar was covered. And it surprised me how quickly I forgot, without the aid of the landmarks, to allow me to judge distance and corners. I couldn't help but seeing so many metaphorical parallels to our own lives. How often does the fog settle and our futures become unclear? How often do our landmarks that help us and guide our normality change and move? I found the fog exhilarating. It put everything into a serene and almost subterranean feel. And on the other hand, it required care and caution to navigate. It tied in beautifully with an exhort Tim Stevenson had given the week before on hope. Hope is seeing through the fog, the unknown. Hope is allowing the waves of life to wash over us day by day. God and Jesus are with us. They live in us if we let them. Like now, for me in my bed, with the wild wind outside, I have peace because they are here. The fog doesn't matter for today, because I feel like my Father and friend will guide me. I feel I have true peace. Even if it is just for this moment, I never want it to go. I never want my Father and friend to go. Please don't go. I had a beautiful moment on that foggy Friday that I'd like to share. I was fortunate enough to be at the same beach, Tiawonga, and to be out surfing with my son, Zion. There were a few people out, but the fog kept the numbers limited to view. The waves were amazing. They were beautifully shaped, and the swell was unrelenting. The fog was heavy, the waves clean. The waves were the only orientation, as you couldn't see the road. You couldn't see the beach. You couldn't see the sun, you couldn't see the sky. It was simply water, fog, and waves coming towards you. It was very eerie, but cool and different. And it made me think of how we flounder through life, not even realizing how much we trust in God and Jesus for direction and guidance. There was a lull in the sets of waves. The fog was thick like a duvet over the ripples. We had no direction, no orientation, because the waves were the only orientation of where the ocean was. But then they stopped. Just fog, just water, nothing else. I couldn't even tell you where the beach was. Then out of nowhere, absolutely nowhere, came the most beautiful burst of bagpipes. And we just, all the surfers out there just smiled at each other that you could see. We just couldn't believe it. Out of nowhere. You couldn't even ask for anything more sort of amazing to happen out in such a bizarre situation. The word of God is our sound of bagpipes through the fog of life. This is our orientation to the land that is not yet reached. We are all riding the waves of life, listening with hope for that sound of salvation, that command to be given. This is the peace that surpasses all understanding. We take Jesus in. Jesus cleans us through his blood. And if we allow our Father and Jesus to live in us through the Holy Spirit, then the wild wind and turmoil of life can stay outside our bedrooms, outside of our minds. And we can have rest and peace that surpasses all understanding. To conclude, I'd like to read three sections of the Bible. The first is 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And with that, I say good morning, and I hope you all have an enjoyable, peaceful day. It is now 6:04 a.m. on that Wednesday morning.